Do you remember when you were a kid and you had a snow day? And how happy that made you that you could do something different on this day? Well, when we got up this morning and saw what the weather was, we weren't sure what that would mean. So we decided we're going to do something a little bit different today. I had a sermon already, but the dog ate the sermon.
Blame it on the dog.
The sermon that I had ready for today, I'm going to share with you next Sunday. Today we were planning, after this worship service, to have a congregational conversation about the political times in which we find ourselves and how we as a congregation and we as individual followers of Jesus should and should not respond in times like these. And we decided to move, with the weather and so forth today, we decided to move that conversation into this sermon slot and have this conversation together. And I do that with a little bit of fear and trepidation, because we are a church that, one, seeks and values justice. As you just heard in the scripture reading, the Bible commands us to love justice and to seek mercy. It commands us to care about the most vulnerable in our culture. In the Old Testament times, widows and orphans. Who are the most vulnerable in our time? Jesus said, whatever you do to the least of these, in other words, the most vulnerable in your culture, you have done it unto me. So how do we be a church that lives into that calling of justice, while also being a church that celebrates diversity? Not just ethnic and racial diversity, socioeconomic diversity, but I never want us to be the kind of church where if you come here, you have to fit into a certain political box, right? Celebrating diversity means celebrating diversity. So in times like these, when our country is so polarized and when we find ourselves in such a fraught political time, how do we as a church navigate the push and pull between doing justice and respecting and honoring diversity? There's not an easy answer to that. But we want to try to do both and balance those as faithfully and as well as we can. And so it feels to me like we need to have a conversation where we listen to each other. What was it that Joan Rivers always used to say? Can we talk? I hope we are the kind of church that when there's something really big happening around us, we can have a conversation about that and don't have to pretend that we're living in a bubble. So, with that in mind, today I want to invite us to have a conversation about two key questions. And in a moment, I'm going to ask folks to share who have something on their hearts about this. Anyone's welcome to share. Let's do so with a spirit of love and openness, but with honesty as well. So the questions are, what should and shouldn't we as individuals do, as individual followers of Jesus do, to make a difference in a time like this? And two, what should and shouldn't we as a church do to make a difference in a time like this? Now, there are a couple things that we're already doing as a church. In the offering moment, I mentioned the billboards that we're going to be putting up. Love trans people, Jesus did, Matthew 22, 37 through 39. Standing with the most vulnerable in our culture, but also sending a bold signal to our surrounding community that that there are churches that care about the most vulnerable. And for those people out there who felt like there's not a church for me because churches can be so hateful and judgmental and narrow-minded, that billboard also sends a powerful message. The message of our church motto, thoughtfully different followers of Jesus. So that billboard is not just saying, stand up for trans people as a justice issue. It's also letting people know there is a church that cares passionately about those kinds of things. So that's one thing we're doing. Four billboards that will go up near the church. And we'll keep those billboards for a three-month period, and each month change out the messages. So you see in your Sunday headlines today, we're asking you to think about what some of those other messages should be. Messages that will convey in a short billboard phrase, what is the essence of this church and what God calls us to be. So if you have a thought about that, we appreciate your brainstorming idea. You can write it on the back of your Sunday headlines. Those who are participating online today, you can go on the links page, and you'll find there a place where you can give us your phrase just to get our creative juices flowing. So the billboards will be going up in a couple weeks, one. Two, there is a coalition of churches that are going to be meeting on Wednesday evening to talk about how churches, synagogues, and mosques should respond at a time like this, and how churches as interconnected groups can also pursue justice in times like this. And because that meeting is happening on short notice, and by the way, we shared with the coordinators of this meeting our list of 300 Hoosier clergy that we've been in touch with on the Trans Justice Initiative. But the meeting was called on short notice, and Pastor Robert and I have schedule conflicts. We could sure use a volunteer who could be there at that meeting to take notes and bring that information back to us. So if that interests you, will you talk to me or Robert right after service so that we can get you that information? So that's in the works. We're also working with a very new congregant, just moved here from New York, who's an expert in grant writing for nonprofits, Kat Bloomfield. Some of you have met her and met them. And Kat believes that we're in a good position to get some significant grant funding for our Trans Justice Initiative, but also for some of the broader initiatives of the church. So those are three things that are in the work of how we're trying to mobilize to be a force for justice in times like these. But let's think out of the box, let's brainstorm. Do you have a thought you'd like to share with us? If so, we're not going to circulate the mic this time, Robert, because we're webcasting this. Okay. So I would ask those who have something to share, just raise your hand, and we'll ask you to just step up here so that the folks who are participating online can also get a chance. Hopefully that won't intimidate folks too much.
Can I say something?
Yes, please.
If you're watching us online, I am monitoring our messages. So if you have some feedback you'd like to give through the Facebook Live, please feel free to do that. We are looking at those.
And the media team is doing that as well. And Carissa will read out some of the comments on YouTube as well. So between you and Carissa, hopefully we can keep folks online looped into this conversation.
One thing I wanted to say I did not get a chance to speak at the last service is that and this is personal Robert stuff, so don't think of this as a staff representation necessarily. One of the things that bothered me about the outcome of our last election was that the coalitions didn't hold up. I was under the impression that we were all, and when I mean we all, I don't mean those of us here today, but we as a society were on the same page on a lot of the what I consider dining room table issues, right? But as the election came out, I saw that that's not necessarily true. A lot of people broke the other way that we didn't think were gonna break the other way. And so when I think about what I would like to see the church continue to do, education has still got to be key. We've been doing a lot of education amongst ourselves, but we need to maybe do more outreach and invite people in so that we may have more of the conversations about trans folk 101. excuse me, we've done a lot of those in-house, but maybe we need to invite the community in. I think that among Black people, I don't think that we were all unified necessarily on where we were going to go with this election. So the unifying, to me, needs to happen, and I was interested to see Hakeem Jeffries over in the federal legislature say last week that he felt frustrated because they have the White House, the Senate, and the House. And so I remember in 2020 when Barack Obama stood at the podium and said, we got shellacked in the midterms, and that kind of went down as sort of his line, we got shellacked. I think there needs to be a shellacking in 2 years. And so our issues need to be voter turnout and education in the community. This is just my two cents from what I'm learning in this frustrating time. Is there someone else that would like to come up and say a word or two?
Hello, everyone. My name's Shaquana. Everyone calls me Shaq. My pronouns are they, she. And the biggest thing, more the individual aspect, is three things. First thing is right now, what is like happening is like shock and awe. I don't know if everyone's familiar with that, but basically, it's just flooding your like timeline, the news, like everything. So you're just like, I don't know where to start. I don't know what to worry about. I don't know what I can do. And that is what is happening, because then you're just frozen, because that's what you do when you are fight, flight, or freeze. A lot of people are freezing. The biggest thing is just going on with your life, being who you are, being with your like friends, family, just continuing on. When talking about this, also talking about community, sticking with your communities or finding community, like who can support you during this time. I kind of tell others, like when I talk about this aspect, is kind of thinking about the Grinch, where he like took the Who's like gifts, and he's like, haha, Who's, I got your stuff. And the Who's were like, no, we're just gonna celebrate with each other and love each other. That's kind of what is happening now. So like going to these community centers, because there's a bunch of them, and it's more us doing the research and seeing who looks like us, who supports us, who is there for us, and building those connections. So you are focusing on yourself, because that's like putting the oxygen mask on for yourself and taking care of yourself. And even if that means stepping away, like turning those notifications off for the news, or just stepping away from social media, whatever you need to do to be okay, that's also a thing you need to do right now. The self-care aspect during this time is way important. So that's my kind of thing.
Let's get several sort of lined up here so we don't have long gaps. So come on, Victoria, come on. Who else has something they want to share? Come on and just sit on the front row, and there you go. And everybody just say your name so that for those that don't know you.
My name is Victoria Patterson. I've been here for like 13 years or so. I'm not even sure if this is the appropriate time to bring something up, but it was just kind of drawn to my attention and something I never even considered under current leadership. So as you all know, we have one little man in our family, Huxley. Huxley is on the spectrum. He has autism, and he attends Shine Pediatric Therapy School, and he has made so much progress. We fought so hard to finally get him approved for 40 hours a week, and unfortunately, under the current leadership, they are, and other families like him, you know, like us, and with other, you know, kiddos, even with other things other than just autism, disabilities, everything that, you know, you can think of requires like a lot of ABA therapy and things like that. And so now, recently, they have put into, sorry, I'm a little nervous. And they're proposing dropping it back down to where every kiddo will only be eligible in the state of Indiana because we have one of the highest expenditures for medical care and state paid care to 30 hours a week. And then with a max of 3 years for ABA therapy. And Huxley is three, and he is just now, starting to hear his voice and his words, and there's many other families who deal with that, and I think with a church that is so, so focused, and I love this about our church, of child, like, bringing up, we have such an amazing youth program, and we have so many, you know, families in the community who are going to be looking for a church that has invested into the care and the spiritual growth that comes along, you know, that is needed, and an affirming church that does that as well, that is like unheard of, right? So I don't know if this is individual or if this is as a church, but there are petitions that you can sign virtually. There's assistance with that, like financial assistance, or also sharing it on Facebook, just because it could happen as soon as April, they're proposing. So it's a huge, huge impact on single moms at work, or dads, single dads, or just families that have to go to work to support them, and the financial expense of paying for that out of pocket is astronomical. And there it goes. Prayer as a community, because I know that we're not alone in the families and the, you know, that would be impacted by this kind of dramatic thing. So speaking up against, like, you know, things that are proposed by the governor and things, you know, all along that nature, we'd really appreciate
that. There is a petition that is circulating on that. I have a great nephew that is in the same position. So if you would like to support ongoing funding for children who are on the spectrum, we can share that petition on the Facebook page, and those who want to respond to it can. It's an urgent issue.
Good morning. My name is Mark Patterson. I have three daughters that attend here. And Robert mentioned the importance of education. I'm a retired music teacher. I taught for 30 years. And I'm very concerned about what's going on right now. And I encourage you as a church to pray that the Department of Education is not dissolved. Over 30 years, I have seen the federal government do some wonderful things through the Department of Education, which was, it was set up and organized by President Jimmy Carter. It was hooked up with two other cabinets, but Jimmy Carter felt that it was important to have its own secretary and own department. And since Jimmy Carter has established that, there has been some good and wonderful things that the Department of Education has done. And I am concerned that if the Department of Education is dissolved, that a lot of children are going to be affected, especially those who receive assistance and help in Title I programs. And that usually means your inner city children. So I encourage you to pray about this important matter. I really honestly feel that the Department of Education needs to stay. I think President Carter had wisdom to establish it, and I think it should stay because it will affect the children otherwise. So please keep that in your prayers. Thank you.
Jack Riley on Facebook said that participation is important. People feel that their vote does not matter, and that we need to remind them that if their vote didn't matter, they wouldn't be trying so hard to restrict access.
Voting matters. Thank you for that comment.
already. My name's Jacob. I'm kind of new to Life's Journey.
We may need to pull that out of there.
Yeah, hold it up. Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Hi, everybody. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Hi, my name's Jacob. I'm very new to Life's Journey. I've been coming here for about a year now. In the civilian world, I'm an EMT. I help mentor junior EMTs who are just coming into the trade. In the military, I'm a medic for the Marine Corps. Talk to me about it later. One of the big things that was laid on my heart when Pastor Jeff asked these questions was something that I learned from an old church. Their mission statement was to produce passionate Christ followers who go out into the world and produce other passionate Christ followers. And one of the fundamental things that I think that if we have a lot of grand scheme, a lot of big picture items that we're talking about today that definitely do need to be addressed, yes. But if you feel like you are not ready to take on bigger chunks of that element or the elephant, one of the smaller bites that a lot of people have been, myself included, have been able to find some comfort in is just getting your testimony right and being ready to share your testimony from the hip. Write it down, practice it, pray about it, talk to your friends about it, and having your testimony ready to share and plug it into wherever God calls you to share it with the people that God calls you to share it, and having yourself ready in that individual moment, because it's not droves of people that we're trying to reach out to. We're not shepherding entire flocks. Sometimes you have to go out into the valley and get that one sheep every once in a while. And just having that ability and having that constant communication with God and that self-accountability and an open mind and an open heart to listen to other people about who you are, what you're doing great, what you can do better, and just keep your testimony updated frequently and just moving forward ready to be that light to one person, 10 people, 100 people.
Hi, I'm Nance. I'm the oldest of the Pattersons. To kind of piggyback off of what Jacob said, sorry, I'm told to slow down, is to not be afraid to go out in your community within the people that God has put in your life, I guess, and share Jesus with them or invite them to church. I didn't know about this church until Victoria started attending here, and now we all go here. So I think for me, it's more of not being ashamed of how I was raised and how and being able to share that God has changed my heart and that this church is here to love God, to love the people of this community, to accept people for who they are and to love them like Jesus would. So I think that's the biggest thing for me as a church we could do, and as individually, that God has put individuals in your life, your pathway daily, that you see, that you work with, invite them to church. Take it old school. Don't be afraid. Growing up, we did VBS, and our mom would make us go door to door, invite people to church. Don't be afraid to invite people to church.
Jesus changes things, right?
Hey, I'm Erin. My family and I have been coming here for almost 2 years. I want to build off of what Jacob, Victoria, Nancy, I mean, it just continues to kind of create a groundswell in me. A lot of you know my son, Levi. Can you say hello, Levi?
Hi.
Bouncing off of the ABA statements, coverage of federal level ABA or even state level is new. When Levi was little, he's just turned 18, those services were not covered by any insurance. And when she said expensive, we're talking like park tutor expensive out of pocket, just to have a kid be given the same chance to reform those neural pathways that are damaged by autism. But that is neither here nor there. I just wanted to kind of fill in a little. That's a new thing, and it's really amazing. And for kiddos like Levi who have aged through that opportunity, you know, we're still playing catch up. But I want to talk about what happens once we get the bodies, the new bodies, the new faces into our church. Inclusion means all. It means the person who looks like they shouldn't be here because we make assumptions about them based on the way they look, what they drive, what they are, how they are dressed, who they are married to or not. So we have to make sure that as a church that we continue to keep our hearts open and that every single person that walks in this door is given the same opportunity to fall in love with Jesus like we have. And so, you know, yes, bring people to church. But also, when you're walking through the building, find that new face, and as hard as it may be, make that effort to make a contact. Because it's hard walking into a new space filled with faces you've never seen, and no one says hello. So I just encourage you guys all to just take that extra step and make sure that everyone feels welcome in here, too.
Is there anyone else that has something on your heart? I see a couple. Come on up. We'll take a few more. Bambi, you're welcome to start, and Michael can follow.
Hi, I'm Bambi, for those of you who don't know me. I would like to say, as of what should and shouldn't we do as a church to make a difference, I believe the first thing we have to do is really educate ourselves into what is going on. And by that, I don't mean to read your favorite newspaper or listen to your favorite podcast, or because this podcast says what you want to hear and that one doesn't, that you don't want to hear it. I think that the way to get down into the middle of the road, into what is happening, is to pull out the very things they're trying to destroy and keep you from seeing. Pull out your history books. There is nothing new going on. This is old and recycled. So we can take it all the way back to the Civil War, the war ending, us having Reconstruction, them Lincoln being killed, and then us getting the Jim Crow laws. That's all we're looking at right now, Jim Crow laws. And so what we think that will not impact us at the moment when they're talking to us, because you're saying, hey, I agree, and take that from whomever it is. I agree, take away that access that Levi has and that Huxley will get and that whomever will get. And then when it comes full circle and they see that it hit their home too, it's too late. Because now you're running from behind. So as a church, I would like to see a committee created, us asked to have time with the governor, because we're looking at all of the big stuff at the federal level and a lot is going on at the local level that is not being brought to court, that don't have a suit, so it's just passing through and people are implementing it. There are people who don't have DEIJ at their jobs anymore and they're being removed from jobs. There are people who are waking up in the morning and they're being removed from housing places because they don't have the money anymore that used to assist them in order to pay their rent. There are things happening right here in our front doors. And so while we do want to get some interest in what is happening federally, I personally think that we should reach out to, we put you in the House and the Congress and the Senate to do certain things, and I think you should do it and not ask us to come out and do it for you. That's why we put you there. If you're not going to do it, give us back our power and let us do it ourselves. That's individual. As a church, our committee can reach out to the governor, ask for a meeting, and whomever we send, they need to know what they're going in to talk about. Because when you sit down, you're not going to walk in the room with just the governor. He's going to have someone sitting, he's going to ask you what you want to talk about. So that when you get there, there's going to be someone sitting in the room that says, we already do that. They didn't say that. We already do that. Been there, done that with the Poor People's Campaign. we have this, this is what we do, and we do this, and this is what we do, and we do this. But you need to know how long they've been doing it and whether or not it's been cut out. Because when you say you cut that out, then they can't make a change. You got the receipts. You stop doing that. So if we can have a committee, and I don't know who Pastor Jeff would put, aside from Pastor Jeff going in, because nothing like having a lawyer sitting there with you. Go in there and have that talk with the governor and say your demands. These are our demands as a church. This is our expectation. You say you are a Christian man, and this is what we want to see on the vein of what you say you are. Not what we say you are, but what you say you are. And as an individual, I would say find that thing that you are most passionate about. Because I know we 100 in on what the church is going to do because this is our church. But what we do as a church may not be what your full passion is on. And so you find that thing that is your passion and you put yourself into it. Be careful when you're going on the front lines because you can become an enemy just like that. So be careful when you're on the front line. Same thing, if you want to go and talk to your representatives and to your senators, when you go into the state house, know that if they say they don't want to talk, then you leave, and then you come back another day and you bring some people with you, and then you leave, and you come back another day, because they will call the security and put you down into the prison cell for however long it takes you to get arraigned. So be careful in the fights that you're fighting. But other than that, bless you all. I wish you all the best. And you have my support if you need me in anything.
So let's take Michael and Jordan, and then we'll wrap up.
Sorry, I'm getting a little emotional for a second. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Mike Ward. I've been here since about 2004-ish, minus some COVID time. But I want to think about what I'm trying to do just for my own to make a difference. There's a balance between education and getting pulled in to all the negative things. And so we have a three negative rule in the house. So as we hear three things, as okay, fine, because it's just going to cause scabs. And then those scabs can keep us from being vulnerable and willing to share and be open. And I want to talk about two practical things just recently. Very blessed that Bryson and I were able to take some time away, but when we're on a cruise ship, we felt very exposed. And I was like, is that in our mind or not? But the more we kind of let that guard down, we got to talk to some amazing people who are just very open and just very caring. So when we're when I was so scabbed and closed off, I was assuming the worst in everybody and not opening myself up to see that there are amazing people out there. And I think the number one thing we just started to do is just listen. And I think people want to be heard and listen for people who have differences. I have the privilege of leading a very diverse team across two countries with the job that I do. And so I've taken a lot of chance, you know, different political spectrums, different where they're born and continents where they're born. And so just getting to listen and hear people's stories. And so that's what I'm doing, just to make those tiny differences in the people who are in my life. And maybe that will have a little bit of a ripple effect.
Yeah.
Hey, my name's Jordan. Been attending for about 4 years. My heart feels like a hummingbird right now, so excuse me. We have this little plaque hanging in our kitchen, and it says, "Perhaps this is the moment for which you were made." And part of me wonders if God put us here right now to be justice and to be a voice for those that don't have a seat at the table. It makes me wonder if we're sitting next to our brother and sister that we're going to march forward with, because this is the time for which we were made. That God created us very uniquely and specifically. What if that's for this? What if God brought all of our footsteps together for this moment together? It makes me ask, what am I supposed to do? And I think one of the things is prayer for each other, and also don't underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit that is just ready to erupt and move for love. Don't underestimate that. What we can do as individuals to make a difference is know that we can. We can make a difference. You can make a difference. Apathy and just kind of freezing and waiting for things to blow over isn't what we're designed for. Would we be okay if we did that? Some of us. That's not what we're designed for. So I pray that each of us will be receptive to God's next steps for us individually and collectively together. Know that Jesus died for everyone. God loves the world, and so should we. And we were designed to love it uniquely and specifically, perhaps for a moment such as this. I love you all.
Carissa?
Just really quickly, Alan Archibald said to educate yourself and to share what you've learned with other people in your life because it makes a difference.
Yeah, let your light shine. Whoever you are, let your light shine and share your story and the story of the people that you know that may be misunderstood. So, I like the thought, Jordan, that you know, for such a time as this, the words that Mordecai spoke to Queen Esther in the Bible, and that's a little bit what haunts me, because the easiest thing for us to do, and for the leadership of our church to do, would be to reduce risk exposure to potential polarization. Keep everybody together, right? But there's a possibility that we could lose our democracy. And if we lose that, God help us. Speaking of history, for its time, Germany looked a lot like the most progressive country in the world, and it was a democracy. And within 15 years, it became the most monstrous country in modern history. And so there's a part of me that just wants to keep the peace. Don't rock the boat. We'll get through this. But there's a part of me that says, what is our responsibility to future generations? And God forbid that we be a church that would keep silent when there were really dark clouds on the horizon. There's a story I've shared with some of you before, true story. I forget the gentleman's name who experienced this, but he tells of growing up in a church in Germany that was next to railroad tracks. And when the Nazis started hauling away Jewish people in the train cars, in this church next to the train tracks, when they would worship on Sunday morning, they could hear the cries of their Jewish brothers and sisters being hauled away. So what did they do? He said, we learned when the train would come by. It was on a schedule. And we would make sure we were singing a loud hymn when the train went by so that we wouldn't have to hear the cries. We can't be that kind of church. So in my heart, I want us to be a politically diverse church that conservative and liberal are welcome. But I want us to also make sure that justice is the North Star. And that if protecting people and helping the vulnerable conflicts with whoever's most recent interpretation of an ideology is, we have to do justice first. And we have to try to do it in love and with compassion. So may God guide us as we try to figure this out. And if you're a conservative in our church, know that we love you, and I want to hear from you how we keep that balance while doing justice. All right, so. Thanks for doing this today. I thought it'd be shorter than usual. We've ran over. I apologize for that. Let's do Holy Communion. Let's go out of here. Let's digest what we've heard. And as somebody already said, pessimism is a trap. Let's be bold and let's be confident that the future is going to be good and we, with others, can make a difference. Amen.